This week, we're talking about the magic of picture books for young children. And we're starting with Martin Salisbury. He runs a graduate program for creating children's books in Cambridge, England. And he's written an illustrated history of picture books, a genre which, he says, goes back only to the 1800s. Even though people have been putting pictures in books for centuries, Salisbury says the unique interplay between words and pictures came much later.
Traditionally, illustrated books are books where the text makes perfect sense on its own. It doesn't necessarily need illustration. What we mean by picture book now is the very specific kind of book that tells its story primarily through pictures with words, but neither really makes sense without the other.
One of the earlier examples of a children's picture book from the 1930s lives on today, is very popular today. It's Babar. He's an elephant. A French elephant, has very little facial expression, just really, as everyone probably knows, two dots for eyes. Why was that such a hit? Why did that work so well?
It's often so hard to know. As you say, if you take Babar out of context and look at a picture of him, he seems completely expressionless. Some theorists say that the more anonymous a visual description of a face is, the more we're able to project our own personality, our own thoughts onto the character. I guess it's a combination of the extraordinary writing of Babar, this strange world that's created, and those very simple faces that allow us to use our imagination.
It does seem that, in a way, sometimes the illustrations in children's books seem so easy, but they add up.
Well, it's interesting. I was talking recently with somebody, an editor actually, at a leading publisher in Britain, a children's book editor, and she was saying that when people ask her what she does for a living, she says, "I'm an editor for picture books." They invariably look a little baffled and say, "Well, what is there to do?" You know, it is seen as something very simple, and she quoted the phrase that I think is sometimes attributed to Mark Twain, that I would have written you a shorter letter if I'd had more time. It's that issue of condensing something into something very elegant and short, usually 32 pages, which is very, very complex to do. And making it look simple and elegant is perhaps the hardest thing.
What do you think it is about any particular picture book that draws children to it time and time again?
It's very hard to say. That read it again factor that publishers talk about a lot, I think it's rather like the theatre, where this is one of the things that the picture book does so well. If the words are saying one thing and the images are saying another. A good example of this actually is Rosie's Walk by Pat Hutchins, where there's a very simple linear narrative where a chicken called Rosie is walking through the farmyard, and the words are telling us Rosie is walking through here, she's walking through there. But what the words never mention is the fox who is following Rosie, constantly trying to eat her. And on each page, the fox encounters some disaster. And if you watch children being read to, they're screaming at their parents, behind you, there's a fox, there's a fox. And that's a book that has remained incredibly popular for that very simple reason, I think, that children still want to go back and tell the chicken that the fox is trying to eat her.
Do you have an all-time favourite children's picture book?
Ooh, there are so many. One of my great favourites is Judith Kerr's The Tiger Who Came to Tea.
Oh, yes.
I think it came out in 1960. Judith Kerr was a war refugee. She's still with us, thankfully. I think she's in her 90s now. It is a book in which nothing really happens. There's no great storyline to it. It's a tiger who knocks on the door of a family house, and he comes in and he eats them out of house and home, empties the fridge, and eventually goes away again.
Although there's one panel where he's a very big, charming orange tiger, almost like a big orange cat, sitting having tea.
Yes, the family have to go out and find a restaurant to eat that night. And there's a lovely double-page spread where they're out in a high street in the evening. And I think for children in the 1960s, that would have been an incredibly exotic thing to go out for to a restaurant to eat in the evening. But I suppose the appeal of the book is just this idea of the mysterious stranger, and it's somehow incredibly compelling. I don't think if we used it as an example of how to write a picture book, I don't think it would work. It's just got that magic somehow.
Thank you very much for joining us.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you.
Martin Salisbury, he's the author of Children's Picture Books, The Art of Visual Storytelling. Tomorrow, we'll hear from one of today's most beloved children's storytellers, Mo Willems. Possibly his best-known character was his first, an endearingly cranky pigeon who he introduced in the book Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus.
The only rule that I have for my books is that every character that is the lead character in a book has to be able to be drawn reasonably well by a four-year-old. And so I spend a lot of time designing my characters to put as little in them as possible. And I'm doing the same thing with words. I want it so that if I took one line out of a drawing, it would just become an abstraction. And I wanted, if I took one word out of a sentence, the sentence would no longer make sense. I'm really trying to get as close to the edge of putting in as little as possible and still having meaning. And what that does is it allows, A, my audience to insert meaning themselves, but it also means that kids can take my characters and just go out and gleefully infringe on my copyright.
Mo Willems' Pigeon and the new book, Duckling Gets a Cookie, tomorrow.
Renee, you sound a little shocked about the duckling there. Here's a reminder that this is World Book Night. It's a bit of a misnomer according to USA Today. It's not celebrated everywhere in the world, but it is celebrated in some countries, including America. People are passing out 500,000 free paperback books in this country in locations ranging from a bar in Brooklyn to a bus that will drive around Sitka, Alaska, to an elementary school in North Kansas City, Missouri. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montagne.